the broken hearted.
Welcome to the Positively Healthy Show. This is Dr. Maria Salas. It's Saturday, and we're here every Saturday from 10 to 11. Today, we've got a great show going on for you. My guest is over the phone today. You're probably going to learn a lot. You might want to get a pad and paper out, or at least your calendar, because there's, I know, some events coming up that you will want to be a part of, I hope. Today's sort of a serious topic. We're talking about medical freedom today, no vaccination mandates. And today I have holding on the line Dr. Brian Hooker. He was the first to get information from the CDC whistleblower last year, and we're going to go ahead and try to connect him now. Dr. Brian Hooker, are you with us?
Yes, Dr. Maria, it is so great to be on your show again.
Oh,
it's
been
too long.
I know, it has. A year, in fact.
Yeah.
Actually,
yeah,
for the listeners, they got to listen to that show last week. And
great.
We did that so everyone could be sort of updated about, you know, what happened last year versus what's going on right now. Today, I do want to talk about as much as we can. There's just so much, huh, Doc?
Yeah, there's, you know, and it's really the tip of the iceberg in terms of, you know, medical freedom and how the powers that be are trying to take away medical freedoms in the state of California.
And, you know, if you hear urgency in my voice, to the listeners, if you hear that urgency, it's because there is urgency right now. I want you to hopefully be moved by today's show and maybe feel like you're at the edge of your seat and feel like that you need to, you know, go do something about what we're talking about today. First, so people can feel a little bit connected to you, Doc, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and why this topic is so important to you and how you got involved in the whole vaccination debate in the first place?
Well, thank you so much, Maria. My name is Brian Hooker, obviously, and I hold a PhD in biochemical engineering. And I'm currently associate professor of biology at Simpson University, so I'm here in Redding, California. And the reason why I got involved in this particular issue as a scientist and as a parent was that my own son was injured primarily by his 15-month vaccines. Up to his 15-month vaccines, was developing properly. And we were, you know, not concerned about his development. There wasn't really anything in his records regarding development. And then after his 15-month vaccines, he regressed very, very quickly. He acquired what's called a mitochondrial dysfunction. And the mitochondria are the little small energy-producing portions of your cells. And so his his system could not handle the onslaught of the vaccines that he received when he was 15 months old, and he also at the same time had an active ear infection, which is contraindicated for vaccination. And so therefore he
like if you already have an already existing ear infection, then you go to your schedule to get your vaccinations, you shouldn't do it then because it's contraindicated. Is that what you're saying?
That is correct.
Okay.
You're not supposed to do it in
while you're sick. Hello.
Yes, you're sick. You're not supposed to be vaccinated when your immune system is fighting off an infection.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the way that vaccinations were intended to work, which is an entire another topic, you know, regarding whether vaccines work or not. But this sends his system into, you know, a hyperimmune state and caused brain inflammation. So he sustained neurological damage. He also sustained systemic damage to some of his organs. And even today, you know, we have issues with his gastrointestinal tract, and you can trace them back to his 15-month vaccines. We have a nice, happy life, and he is homeschooled, but he has very, very serious developmental delays, and they can all be traced back to his 15-month vaccine. So you know, as a parent and as a scientist, I was highly interested in the connection between vaccines and neurological difficulties like autism.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wanted to become aware. I wanted to know what the powers that be were saying regarding this type of neurological injury. And as I reached out into the internet community, I was finding many thousands of people that were in the same position that, my family was in.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we have just a few more seconds to go before we have to cut to commercial. Today we're talking to Dr. Brian Hooker, PhD, Associate Professor of Biology at Simpson University, and I call him a hero at the forefront of medical freedom today. He works very hard to make sure that we do have medical freedom. I'm sure he's going to be going to the march that we'll be talking about next week. And I believe you were just on Tim Donnelly's radio show just recently. We'll talk about that on our way back. This is the Positively Healthy Show. This is Dr. Maria Salas. Come on back. Owner of Healthwise Chiropractic. Not only do we have fun seeing entire families and athletes, but we see the hard workers of this town. We love our occupational athletes. Work better, feel better, reduce injury, prevent chronic disease, boost metabolism, increase energy and productivity, live a healthier and pain-free life with my new exercise app for your phone and computer. Check us out on Facebook at Healthwise Chiropractic. For a free one-month trial, use Dr. Maria 1. We love our occupational athletes at Healthwise Chiropractic.
This is Carl and Linda Bott. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 to 9 a.m. for Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 1460. On Monday, we welcome Carolyn Ferguson, managing editor of the Record Searchlight, for a continuing series about big stories that affect the people right here in Shasta County and the surrounding areas. Find out what these stories are. What are your comments? All of this on Monday right here, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Miss a day. Miss a lot.
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard-to-find fine ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
Welcome back. This is the Positively Healthy Show, and this is Dr. Maria Salas talking to Brian Hooker today, Associate Professor of Biology at Simpson University. Thank you so much for hanging out with us today, Doc.
Well, thank you. Like I said, it's always a pleasure to be on your show. You know, I think you're doing God's work, especially, you know, in the work that you're doing regarding medical freedom and preserving medical freedom, you know, for parents to be able to make informed, educated choices regarding their own children's care.
And thank you. One of the big Senate bills that we have out right now, sort of waiting in the wind, I don't know, SB 277. You want to tell us a little bit about your thoughts on that bill, Doc?
Sure. SB 277 was designed in a nationwide effort, actually by the pharmaceutical companies, in order to strip away parental rights regarding vaccination choice for their children. And what SB 277 does is it removes the philosophical belief in exemption, which is, you know, enacted in California if a parent has a, for a philosophical reason, does not want to vaccinate their child. Then they can simply fill out the form, visit their doctor, and claim that particular exemption, and then their children can participate in public and private schools without being vaccinated, or, you know, with being partially vaccinated. Say if you want to skip something that is, you know, I think is ludicrous, like the hepatitis B vaccine, then a parent can claim a personal belief exemption. SB 277 takes away completely the personal belief exemption And the only way that a child could be exempt from vaccinating, even missing one vaccine that's on the current schedule, then what they would have to do is get a medical exemption. So they would have to find a doctor who would have very, very strict criteria to hand out medical exemption. If a child, say, is immunocompromised, then perhaps they could get an exemption. But the bill tightens up the medical exemptions to the point where my son, even my son who's vaccine injured, mm-hmm. he would not be exempt.
Exactly.
He would not be able to get an exemption. So many, many children who are unvaccinated and partially vaccinated would then be excluded from the school district starting in January of 2016.
So do we even know what the actual requirements are? I know it's very narrow, like you're saying, to be able to get exempted from that. A child could have, or their siblings could have already had an allergic response, yet that isn't even enough, correct?
No, that's not enough. If a sibling has a adverse reaction to a vaccine, then that is not sufficient. You actually, you know, they're putting our children on the front lines and saying, no, mm-hmm. they actually have to get vaccine injured before they, some, in most instances, that wouldn't even preclude them. And so instead of parents being able to make logical choices, then our children are participating in this grand experiment on these vaccines, which I would contend are wholly untested and are not safe for the human population.
Yes. And where do we stand now, Doc? I mean, I know there was a lot going on in January, February, March, April, with getting ready to be in committees and then being in a few of the committees. Do you know where we stand now?
Well, actually, it was rammed through the California State Senate mm-hmm. by a pediatrician. Actually, a pediatrician that, if you go to his internet ratings, he's actually a very poor pediatrician according to his patient ratings. A guy named Richard Pan, who is a senator from Sacramento, and his colleague Ben Allen, who I believe is a senator from Malibu, rammed through this bill. They are always accompanied by two lobbyists, which I believe are employed by Merck. And so when you see them on Capitol Hill in Sacramento, they're never without their Merck lobbyists,
yeah.
who basically are telling them, you know. And so you've got two sock puppets for the vaccination industry that have rammed through this bill. It did pass through committees, and it passed the full Senate by a vote of, I believe, 25-10.
Mm-hmm.
Our own senator in Reading, Senator Ted Gaines, voted against it. I'm very proud
Thank
of that.
Thank you, Ted Gaines. Mm-hmm.
I'm very proud of that. And, mm-hmm. in fact, he testified from the Senate floor that his own daughter had a vaccine adverse reaction. And mm-hmm. yet, you know, when you talk to some of these, and pardon the expression, but drones that don't know how to think in Sacramento who will vote the party line, then it fell on deaf ears, and then it went ahead and passed through committee.
Well,
Merck has, mm-hmm. I'm just a second, Merck has invested actually in the campaigns of many, if not most, of these particular senators that voted for this bill.
And it's mixed party. I mean, the author of the bill, Dr. Richard Pan, Senator Richard Pan, he's a Democrat,
mm-hmm.
but aren't there a few Republicans that are co-authors?
There are Republicans that are co-authors of the mm-hmm. bill, and I would contend that this is not a partisan issue,
mm-hmm.
that parental choice and parental rights,
mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, we talk about, especially on the Democratic side, being pro-choice. Well, this is a pro-choice
exactly.
bill for, you know, preserving parental choice. Parents are the experts for their wonderful children. They're the ones that are spending 24/7 with them. They should be able to make the choice on injecting something into their child that could be potentially harmful. Vaccines are not without side effects, and my family is a living example of that.
We do have a march coming up in Sacramento on Tuesday the 9th. Do you know what time it starts?
This is the march on Sacramento.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know the official name of the march. I'm sitting here kind of agonizing in my brain thinking, mm-hmm. what do they call it?
Oh, I can look it up, Doc. Don't worry.
Okay, I appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
It starts at 10 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a gathering. They're actually busing people from Southern California to come in.
Yes, I saw that. That's awesome.
There's going to be several speakers. I get to be one of the speakers. There is going to be Eric Layden, who is the producer of the movie Trace Amounts about mercury and vaccines, several other representatives. A representative from the African American community is coming up from Los Angeles. The march will start at 10 a.m. and then there will be a rally at 10:45, and all of that will start at the North Capitol steps, not the West Capitol steps, but the North Capitol steps at 10 a.m.
Okay. More to come with Dr. Brian Hooker. Come on back.
Summer is here, and it's time to enjoy the great outdoors. Whether you're headed to the lake, Bernie Falls, going fishing, or throwing a barbecue, Mighty Fine Foods is your one-stop shop for summer fun. Stop by the meat department for the best prices around and try our own country sausage made in-store. Mighty Fine has over 1,000 drinks to choose from, and we barbecue every Friday all summer long. So take up a tri-tip, rack of ribs, barbecue chicken, or a Polish dog. Stop by the deli for fried chicken or a sandwich made just the way you like it. We are a locally owned and operated family company at 299 and Deschutes in Bella Vista. Mighty Fine Foods, your one-stop shop on the way to the lake.
So, Brenda, guess what?
Oh, what now?
Boomer Tech Radio is changing a little bit again.
Oh, my gosh. Just like keeping up with technology. Can't keep up with Boomer Tech Radio.
Right now, every Saturday from noon until 2 o'clock, you can listen to Boomer Tech Radio for 2 hours back-to-back right here on KCNR 1460. And we are brought to you every week by
Advanced Automotive.
Safe, reliable car care for their customers and our community. So listen every Saturday for Boomer Tech Radio, noon to 2, right here on KCNR 1460.
It'll help you keep up with technology.
You've got to help me. I don't know if I'm going crazy or if my car is possessed. Don Steck for Coachmaster Collision Repair. The owner's ordeal began after a collision repair, resulting in a car that had a mind of its own. It would suddenly pull violently left or right, but only when he was alone. He had taken the car back to the shop that repaired it. It was test driven 8 times. Nothing happened. Nobody believes me. They look at me like I'm crazy. Just minutes before he arrived at Coachmaster, the pulling struck again. My inspection revealed necessary framework and wheel alignment had not been corrected from the collision. At Coachmaster, we stock hundreds of blueprints. With this evidence, we proved the owner was not crazy and the car was not possessed. The insurance company authorized us to correct the vehicle. Coachmaster, Collision Repair, Redding, California.
Thank you. This is the Positively Healthy Show, and we've got a very important topic today with grave urgency. Welcome back to the show, Dr. Brian Hooker. And we were on the way out. We were talking about SB 277. And what is your strategy for Tuesday during the march in your presentation, Doc?
My strategy is to basically expose the folly of this particular mandate. If you look at even on the pro vaccination side, if you look at vaccination rates in California, they're among the highest in the nation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we have about last I checked about 97% compliance in public and private schools to the full vaccination schedule, and then you have a portion that are claiming the personal belief exemption. But and the tacit assumption that the other side makes is that they're all unvaccinated. But you have to claim a personal belief exemption even if you miss one vaccine. So these are not completely unvaccinated children. They're partially vaccinated. And so, you know, the CDC's own recommendation, they published a document called Healthy Children 2020, or Healthy People 2020, rather. And they were looking at 92% compliance of vaccine uptake being sufficient in order to protect populations. California is at 97% compliance. So it's a stupid bill. It does not need to be done.
Mm-hmm.
It's based on the folly of this measles epidemic that supposedly occurred out of Disneyland that affected a total of 159 people. There were a few that were hospitalized. Nobody
no
died.
No deaths.
And everybody recovered by April.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the outbreak began in January, and there were no further cases by April. I think, you know, what's happening is the pharmaceutical industry is stepping on this opportunity, in taking this crisis, creating an opportunity, and that SB 277 is about pharmaceutical company profits. It's not about protecting.
Don't you think it's a little bit more than that, too, Doc? I mean, obviously, with such high compliance, it shows to me that there's a plan. There's something else going on. Dr. Mark Greer, I believe we've talked about him before on the show. 10 years, MD, PhD, 10 years over at National Institute of Health and John Hopkins. He says that more of the money for pharmaceutical companies is in the flu vaccine. So why is Richard Pan so hard and fast about these vaccinations?
It is.
There's a plan.
It's a huge, huge, huge moneymaker. I mean, the problem with SB 277, and the reason that I want to get the populace to really fight against this, I mean, and if you do show up at the march, wear a red shirt.
Yes. Okay?
And that's not a partisan red shirt. That's a red, you know, basically for red for the blood that's shed by these innocent children that have been injured by these vaccines.
Mm-hmm.
Vaccine injury is not rare, and it's not facile. It is and can be extremely serious, and hundreds of thousands of people sustain vaccine injuries in the United States.
And when we say injury, we're not talking lightly. We're talking about serious brain injury to even death, correct?
That is correct.
Such a broad range of things that could happen to a child.
Right, a very broad range, and infant death occurring, you know, 24 hours post-vaccination, where these children are now getting up to 13 different vaccine antigens when they go in for the well baby visits, which is just preposterous. This is an unstudied vaccine schedule. The CDC will claim, oh, well, vaccines don't cause autism, and so we've studied it, and everything's fine. But the problem is they've only looked at one vaccine regarding autism. That's the MMR vaccine. And there are 14 vaccines in the schedule, 13 of which they've never looked at. They don't know if the hepatitis B causes autism. They don't know if the Haemophilus influenza B causes autism. They have no clue. But yet they are fine with conducting this grand experiment on the children of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
So this is an unstudied, untested vaccination schedule. Then if you do sustain a vaccine injury, then you cannot sue a manufacturer for a vaccine injury, for a design defect. What you do is you go into a government program called the National Vaccine Injury Compensation Program, which typically takes 10 years or more in order to get compensated. And even at that juncture, only about 25% of the cases ever get any type of compensation.
Mm-hmm. Doc, I want to talk more about that court because I know that a lot of people do not know about it. I do want to talk more about CDC whistleblower William Thompson. But we do have a caller on the line if you would like to take a question, Doc.
That would be super.
Okay. Kay is on the line. Kay.
Hi.
Hi. Do you have a question?
Well, I have a comment, actually. I was working for the Immigration Service, and they offered us the hepatitis B series. And in between the hepatitis, in between the...
Offered?
The shots. You know, I had the first shot and the second shot, and in between the second and third shot, I had some problems, and they couldn't figure out what was wrong. And then after the third one, I had this, it was in the middle of May, and it was a really bad cold, and I could not get rid of it. It went all the way through summer and into fall. And so finally, I had an x-ray, and then it was abnormal, and then I had to have a chest CAT scan, and then they found that the hyaluronanopathy had enlarged. And so anyway, we were told that when we had the shots, the nurses said that, well, if you have a reaction, it'd just be like you have flu. Well, I've done some, I'm a political scientist, not a hard scientist, but I've done some research on it, and I've noticed that especially among nurses, and especially among female nurses, there are a lot of women who who have these autoimmune diseases, and the nurses are probably the number one because they have to take all these shots, and they take more than the adults normally do, and the doctors tend to avoid them. And while it's so, I mean, it's terrible what these vaccinations can do to children, it's terrible what they can do to adults, and usually they're adults, you know, going into middle age adults when they're in the prime of their career, and they have to retire on disability.
Mm-hmm. Good point, Kay.
Because I think what happens is that your body overreacts if it's a certain way, and just because if you have a cold, that's one thing, but you don't know when you're coming down with something, really.
Yeah, during the incubation period.
Bad situation, mm-hmm. You know, a low situation, and then you have that foreign substance introduced into your body, and your body overreacts to it. And so I think what happens is wherever your weak spot is, you know, if it's your lungs, it might go there. If it's your, you know, you might get lupus, you might get whatever you get. That's, you know, the way your body overreacts, and that's what happens. And, I mean, I think they were also talking about adults not being able to opt out of that.
You're right. Sounds like that's the plan. Thank you for your call, Kay.
Yeah. Well, I think we all need to be able to choose. We have the right to choose. And they portray the people who choose not to vaccine as a bunch of idiots who are ignoramuses. And that is not true. They're probably some of the most well-informed people, and they've done their research.
You're absolutely right, and I
the good work.
Thank you so much. We have to cut to commercial. Dr. Brian, and thank you for the call, Kay. You made some wonderful points. We'll talk more about the aging population on our way back. Hi, this is Dr. Maria Salas. I've been in practice for 10 years as owner of HealthWise Chiropractic. Not only do we have fun seeing entire families and athletes, but we see the hard workers of this town. We love our occupational athletes. Work better, feel better, reduce injury, prevent chronic disease, boost metabolism, increase energy and productivity, live a healthier and pain-free life with my new exercise app for your phone and computer. Check us out on Facebook at HealthWise Chiropractic. For a free one-month trial, use Dr. Maria 1. We love our occupational athletes at HealthWise Chiropractic.
Hi, Mark Story here to let you know that Haven Humane Society is taking great pride in serving the pet population and pet owners in the community. As CEO of Haven Humane, I invite everyone to check out our new adoption center and all the programs we have in place to help the animals in our care find their forever homes. And our spay-neuter clinic is also here to offer those families on a fixed income pet vaccinations and spay-neuter services. Contact Haven Humane at 241-1653 or visit us, East Side Road off of 273.
Celebrate with us all month long at Wind River Resort and Casino and play our $100,000 anniversary Zoom Ball Swipe to Win. Win big cash prizes or $100,000. It's simple. Spin the reels on any slot machine or swipe your free River Club card daily. Plus, earn entries all month long to increase your chances to be a contestant. Fridays from 6 to 10 p.m. 10 contestants every hour. Root for the colored balls to fill the Zoom Zone and walk away a winner. For official rules and details, log on to windriver.com. It's better at the river. Wind River Resort and Casino has delivered by continuing the trend of bringing back what you asked for. We are excited to bring back an array of appetizing specials inside Elements Restaurant. We invite you to come in and enjoy a delicious meal. Ask your server about our daily 777 specials and our nightly dinner specials. So come in and relax as you enjoy what our new menu has to offer. Whether it is breakfast, lunch, or dinner that you crave, Elements Restaurant offers something special for everyone. Log on to windriver.com. Dining is better at the river.
Carry on my wayward son. There'll be peace when you are done. Lay your weary head to rest. Don't you cry no more.
Welcome back. This is the Positively Healthy Show. This is Dr. Maria Salas. Not in studio, but over the phone, Dr. Brian Hooker. Thank you so much for taking this long call with us today and doing this very important show, Doc. Really appreciate it.
Oh, it is my pleasure. And anytime we can get the word out regarding medical freedom, I'm there. I want to be able to help, and I want to be able to make sure that people are making good choices, regardless of whether it's for their children or for themselves or for aging parents. You know, good medical choices need to be made, and we need to do that in light of a pharmaceutical industry that's not necessarily there for your health. They're there to make money.
Mm-hmm. And on the way out, we were definitely talking about adults, and let's talk about the older adult population, baby boomers, let's say, that may already have health issues or immune compromised. This is a question that was texted to me. Won't that group of people and what's going on with their bodies have a very difficult time to get through some of those vaccinations as well as the children?
Yes, you know there's a problem with the adult vaccination schedule. And there will be a push, and there are already mandates that are being, there's SB 792, mm-hmm. which is for preschool healthcare workers, mm-hmm. Getting their vaccinations. They're trying to ramrod that through, and that includes the flu shot, an annual flu shot. And the flu shot in California, about 70%, I think between 50 and 70% of the flu shots contain 25 micrograms of mercury, which is not tolerable by the human body. And when you look at an annual flu shot and you look at 25 micrograms of mercury every year, it's no wonder that we are seeing autoimmune dysfunctions, we're seeing Parkinson's disease, we're seeing Alzheimer's disease, we're seeing Huntington's disease, mm-hmm. and all of these neurological conditions, because mercury is a neurotoxin.
Mm-hmm. Let's take a step backwards here to last year at this time, where you were at, what you were doing, all the research that was building up to basically the whistleblower at CDC.
Wow.
I know there's a lot there, but where does that all stand now? Is he involved in anything? Is he basically in a cave somewhere?
Well, the CDC whistleblower is still at CDC. And his name is William Thompson. Mm-hmm. He and I had probably over 30 different conversations on the phone where he revealed to me a culture of corruption, fear, and intimidation in those individuals that are supposed to be doing the science around vaccine safety. And, you know, they lie upon lie in terms of whether vaccines are safe and efficacious, and whenever these individuals would see a result that they didn't like, if they saw a result that showed a vaccine adverse event, then they would meet in a room and they would beat the result to death until they could bury it. And so Dr. Thompson is under wraps. He is cooperating with Congress right now. There are several congressional committees that are looking at picking this up. And, you know, what we're telling people to do is to write your congressman and let, in this case, in Reading, it would be Doug LaMalfa, and let them know that you want the CDC whistleblower to testify under subpoena and to talk about the malfeasance and fraud that's going on within the CDC, because that's what he's waiting for. He's got federal whistleblower status, but he also has a family, and he's looking at trying to get his full vested retirement in the CDC, which doesn't happen until 2017. So, you know, he's in his own spot. The CDC has basically stuck him in a room somewhere where he can do no harm. They're not going to fire him because he's probably more damage to the CDC if he's on the outside than he is on the inside. Mm-hmm. And so it's been, you know, a very, very tight, tenuous situation. You know, my desire would be for him to fully come public, but, you know, he's making choices for himself and his family. But some of his revelations, you know, if the CDC would have been forthcoming back in 2001, 2002, when they were seeing these vaccine adverse events tied specifically to the MMR vaccine, then we could have saved a lot of lives, and we could have saved a lot of families a significant amount of heartache.
Yeah, and I feel like he knows that. I hear a lot of remorse in his voice in some of the conversations that were recorded. He feels like it was a very low point in his career that he
right.
let some of those go through.
And we're trying to get the word out as much as possible. But, you know, the mainstream media largely their advertising dollars comes from the pharmaceutical industry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the United States is one of the very, very few countries where the pharmaceutical industry can advertise on television. And so if I go on CNN and talk about the CDC whistleblower, they're going to lose sponsorship. So that's about the last thing that they want to do.
Not to mention all the money that the senators get from the pharmaceutical companies as well.
That's a good point. That's a very good point. Lobbyists, you know, you look at lobbying by the pharmaceutical industry over the past 14 years, the pharmaceutical industry has probably invested $3 billion just in lobbying alone.
Mm-hmm. What has that press coverage been like regarding the CDC whistleblower for you and the fight against SB 277?
The alternative media has been super.
Okay.
And there's been a lot of coverage. Favorable coverage by programs like The Blaze, which is Glenn Beck,
mm-hmm.
Newsmax, The Daily Caller, which is Tucker Carlson. You know, some of these outlets have been less fearful because they're not getting money from pharmaceutical industries. But when the CDC whistleblower story broke, unfortunately, what happened, I had a paper that disclosed a lot of this information. It was in the scientific literature, and then pharmaceutical companies and the CDC complained about my paper, and it was retracted, and which was a really low point in my career. I've published over 60 papers. I've never had anything retracted, ever, and this was a lock-solid paper, and the reasons behind the retraction were completely dubious, and despite my best efforts to fight against it, the paper was retracted. You can still get it on the website. It's from a journal called Translational Neurodegeneration, and the paper's still available on the website, but it has officially been retracted. So the news story became, in the major outlets, oh, well, this guy, Brian Hooker, tried to publish a paper based on a whistleblower, but everything's okay because the paper was retracted.
Yeah,
so
yeah. I'm going to start calling you Andrew Wakefield Jr.
Yeah. And he's my good friend. He and I are good friends. We've been commiserating on this, and this particular issue. I have not suffered to the extent.
Oh, yes.
To the extent.
I understand.
But yeah, I've there's a adjective. Adverb in the community called being Wakefielded.
I think you were Wakefielded, Doc.
That's exactly right. I was Wakefielded.
Now, for the people that are listening to the show and do not know who Andrew Wakefield is, this show is so important. I'm working through this next commercial here. Tell us a little bit about Andrew Wakefield, his story. I know it's huge, it's big and long, but, there's a summary.
In a nutshell?
Yeah, in a nutshell.
Sure. Well, Dr. Wakefield found that there was, he had 12 autistic patients. This was in London in the late 1990s, and he was finding gut lesions. He was finding actual lesions in the gut of these children, and the parents of these children were complaining that this regression and this GI problem that is typical in autistic children followed the MMR vaccine. And when he merely suggested that in a paper that he published in The Lancet in 1998, all hell broke loose.
Well, you know, you forgot to mention he wasn't at the time an anti-vax person.
No,
not even that. He didn't mention autism once, right, in the research?
In the research, mm-hmm. he suggested that he suggested that there was a potential link that needed to be investigated.
Exactly. Yes.
Which is, oddly enough, what I put in my paper, mm-hmm. you know, I said there was a link between the timing of the MMR vaccine and autism in African-American males that needed to be researched. Wakefield never said anything about changing the vaccine schedule. He never mm-hmm. said anything about splitting apart the MMR into three separate vaccines. And yet, you fast forward about 7 years in his career because of his work, and he was stripped of his license, his medical license, and he can no longer practice medicine.
Sounds like you guys are working together a little bit now.
Yeah, we are. He's a good friend of mine, And he's documented a lot of what's going on with the CDC whistleblower.
Mm-hmm.
And I you know, praise him for his work in terms of being able to document that. We want word to get out,
mm-hmm.
and we want people to be protected and to then, you know, crystallize, bringing this back to SB 277, crystallize the fight, because these vaccines are untested. Even the Supreme Court in a 2012 ruling said they were unavoidably unsafe. And so if there is any question of safety, why would they take away a parental choice?
What year was that, Doc?
2012.
Okay. Because it doesn't matter anymore because 1986 happened?
Yes. In 1986, they passed the National Childhood Vaccine Injury Act, which took vaccine injury out of the courts and put it into this vaccine injury compensation program.
Another good friend of yours, new friend, I don't know if he's a new friend or not, Robert Kennedy Jr.
you know, we are so blessed to have individuals like Bobby Kennedy,
mm-hmm.
who have picked up this issue.
Mm-hmm.
And Bobby Kennedy specifically was looking at mercury in water and in waterways, and he was
he wasn't even in the vaccine like part of it at all, right?
No,
at first.
Not at all. No, yeah. He was not in the vaccine issue, but he kept on getting these questions from parents,
mm-hmm.
and specifically from moms, who were saying, you know, if you're worried about mercury in water, why aren't you concerned about mercury that's in the vaccines,
mm-hmm.
that's being directly injected into children and adults? And so he was dragged into this particular issue, kicking and screaming.
Mm-hmm.
But
bet.
Then he wrote a book on it, a very exhaustive, actually it's a good read, but it's a very exhaustive book called The Marisol, Let the Science Speak. And you can get it, you know, on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever. And it's just a wonderful treatise on why in the heck in this day and age do we still have mercury, a known neurotoxin, in our vaccines.
Mm-hmm. And you guys went to go visit Richard Penn, didn't you, Dr. Richard Penn?
Yeah, it was interesting. We did some lobbying while the bill was in the Senate, and I had the fortunate task of being able to meet with some of these senators, with Mr. Kennedy. And one of the senators was Richard Pan. And we talked specifically to him about the malfeasance and the fraud in the CDC. And he could not answer our questions. And ultimately, he got up and left the room.
Oh, wow. And did he have his lobbyist there at the time?
He did not have his lobbyist there at the time. I think that's one of the reasons why he left the room,
mm-hmm.
is that he did not have his lobbyist at the time. You know, we posed some very, very pointed questions, and you know, Bobby has done his homework, and I have worked with him painstakingly to make sure that the research that we do is lock solid. But in the face of that, then the bill's co-author could not stand, and so he just simply removed himself from the situation.
How unfortunate. Vaccine injuries and deaths continue to increase in federal vaccine court. The Department of Justice issues a report on vaccine injuries and deaths every quarter to the Advisory Commission on Childhood Vaccines. And there are 163 cases for vaccine injuries and deaths for the period of February 16th, 2015 through May 15th, 2015. Wow.
That's a very, very small chunk of time.
Yes.
If you look at the total reportable amounts of vaccine injuries that occur within a year, you're looking into the thousands. And they say that this is the CDC takes the reports for these vaccine injuries. And they say that for every vaccine injury that's reported, there's probably 10 vaccine injuries that go unreported in these systems.
Yeah.
103 of the settlements were listed in the report, the latest report, giving the name of the vaccines, the injury, and the amount of time the case was pending before settlement. Four of those settlements were for deaths linked to vaccines, with three deaths related to the flu shot and one death for hepatitis B shot, typically given to newborns. 74 of the 103 settlements were for injuries and deaths due to the flu shot, and the majority of the flu shot injuries were, guess from what, Doc? Guillain-Barré syndrome. And we'll talk more about that on our way back from the commercial. Little GB syndrome, huh, Doc? Okay, come on back.
The degree to which we enjoy good health, vitality, and freedom from pain and suffering is directly related to the level of responsibility we're willing to assume for our bodies and our lives. Hi, I'm Nancy Sutton Pierce, host of the Conscious Living Show every Saturday, KCNR1460.com. My show is about helping you uncover your authentic self, discussing health, laughter, love, truth, sex, and so much more. We awaken to who we really are and why we're here, then life improves. Bon Jovi says, I'm going to live while I'm alive. Are you? Tune in every Saturday, 11 to noon, KCNR 1460, streaming live, KCNR1460.com. My website, ConsciousLivingYoga.com, will give you more information. The Conscious Living Show is proudly sponsored by Orchard Nutrition Center, Gorilla Bites, and Fields Jewelers.
Experience Lake Shasta like never before with a houseboat from Holiday Harbor. A houseboat is a fun and affordable way to relax with family and friends. Holiday Harbor has something for everyone, from personal watercraft to paddle boards, ski boats to towables, and so much more. Already have a boat? Bring it out and leave it in one of the Holiday Harbor slips. Food, supplies, or a little marine repair? Holiday Harbor has it. Staycation on the lake with Holiday Harbor. Holiday Harbor Resort and Marina, 238-2383 or lakeshasta.com.
Want to have a great cup of specialty coffee that is reasonably priced? Well, head on down to Tobacco & Brew. Located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, Tobacco & Brew can fulfill all of your coffee and tea needs.
Then walk next door to the most complete tobacco shop in Northern California. Veterans discounts, e-cigs of all sizes and flavors, a walk-in humidor that has the finest cigars as noted in Cigar Aficionado. Tobacco & Brew, coffee, wine, tea, and a fully stocked tobacco emporium. 2143 Hilltop Drive.
Open 7 days a week. We'll see you there.
This is the Positively Healthy Show. This is Dr. Maria Salas. On the phone, we have Dr. Brian Hooker, PhD and Associate Professor of Biology, with us today, answering a lot of great questions. Wow. So on our way out, we were talking about Guillain-Barré with the vaccine settlements.
That's correct.
Just from the very short period of February to May this year already.
Yeah, there's the flu shot does cause Guillain-Barré syndrome, and it's a paralytic syndrome that causes partial paralysis. The paralysis can, you know, it's not always lifelong, but it can be lifelong. It also causes another paralytic syndrome called Bell's palsy.
Mm-hmm.
And when individuals get the flu shot and they contract Guillain-Barré syndrome, that's what's called a table injury. The CDC and the powers that be, the Department of Justice, which administers the vaccine program, already know that this happens. So those individuals are compensated because they know that this is a vaccine injury. But yet it's not widely known and it's not widely touted that the flu shot, which is given in, you know, in massive quantities in the United States, can cause this syndrome, and then it's also resulted in 3 deaths in that very short period of time, that very short window that you just read.
Mm-hmm. I know, that's very sad. So I guess the point to bringing all of this up was I do want people to know that there is a vaccine court. A lot of people don't know that. I guess they could go through sometimes a long period to try to get any kind of help, but
that's correct, and it's a very well kept secret by design.
Mm-hmm.
People don't want to know about the vaccine court because it brings up the possibility of vaccine injury, and the Department of Health and Human Services tries to keep it a big secret because they're afraid if people are aware and are made aware that vaccines do cause injury, that vaccination rates will go down. But in the interest of public disclosure, they need to disclose that vaccine court is available and that if you do sustain a vaccine injury, major or minor, then you do. That's your only legal recourse. You basically go into this particular program. You get an attorney, which is approved by a special bar. And when you have that particular attorney, then you go up against attorneys from the Department of Justice who will argue against your particular vaccine injury. Some cases with like Guillain-Barré syndrome, they just merely concede if it's been diagnosed and you get compensated. But in many cases, like my own son's case, it's been very, very contentious, and we've been in vaccine court since 2002.
Oh, gosh. Okay, to remind people about the march just a few days from now, June 9th, starting at 10, Doc, as far as a name, I believe it is Sacramento State Capitol, and it's the 100,000 free people will be marching to bring a clear message to the California legislators. So I believe it's 100,000 free people marching for medical freedom.
That is correct. Thank you for looking that up. I really appreciate that. And it's sponsored by a group called Our Kids, Our Choice, OKOC, Our Kids, Our Choice.
Mm-hmm.
And I do want to also, just take a minute to congratulate and laud our own representative. I got off the phone yesterday evening. When you have a representative, you should be able to be able to personally access that representative.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happened. Representative Brian Dolly, who is our assemblyman for the district that includes Reading, called me after he received my letter regarding SB 277. And he said unless there's a very substantial change within the wording of the bill that he is going to vote against the measure.
Oh, thank you, Brian Dolly. Thank you, Ted Gaines. One more thing. Actually, two more things, and we have like less than 5 minutes. So we had a caller ask about she wanted you to maybe just touch on for just a minute about herd immunity. We know that naturally sometimes that the population – I don't know. Do you know anything about herd immunity that you want to
Yeah, the population naturally acquires immunity via, you know, and this is a theoretical concept, and to me it's just not as well tested as it should be. Herd immunity is a concept by which vaccinologists will say if about 90 to 95% of all the individuals in the community receive a vaccine, say, you know, within a school system or within an individual school, receive a vaccine, then that would should be sufficient immunity in order to prevent the disease spread,
mm-hmm.
okay? And herd immunity is required in order to protect both vaccinated and unvaccinated people, according to vaccinologists. Now, I would contend, you know, there's another whistleblower case going on right now,
mm-hmm.
Which involves two former employees from Merck. And what they're saying is when they did the work on the measles, mumps, rubella vaccine, that the mumps portion of the vaccine was only about 50% effective.
Okay.
So that totally abolished for the MMR, and we do have mumps outbreaks regularly, usually among college students, because the MMR immunity wanes after a short period of time, and then people are more susceptible for this disease.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a whistleblower, which is being case that's being held in the Department of Justice right now. Merck is dragging their heels, but they've already conceded that they lied about the efficacy about the mumps vaccine that people are getting right now. And
mm-hmm.
so, you know, when you have vaccine failure like this, that totally abolishes herd immunity.
Exactly. 2 minutes left, Doc.
Okay.
Parents being reported to CPS when they just have questions about how their kids' side effects have been after vaccinations.
Absolutely. You know, when you have a rampant social services system that is hypervigilant, then there have been reports across the country of pediatricians who will report non-vaccinators to CPS. CPS then goes and does an investigation, and let me know. We've never been investigated by CPS,
mm-hmm.
but I do know families that have been investigated by CPS for this and similar issues,
mm-hmm.
and it is a complete nightmare. If you want to turn a family absolutely upside down, then report them to CPS for non-vaccine compliance. I mean, it's about the cruelest thing you could do.
Or questions about the choice for the way they want to get through cancer. even.
Right.
You know?
Right. Whether or not you want to receive chemo for cancer or whether or not you want your child to receive chemo for cancer. Mm-hmm. So, you know, rather than having medical choice, then these proponents of these horrendous bills, which are basically orchestrated by pharmaceutical companies, these proponents are going to create a culture of medical fascism.
Dr. Brian Hooker, we are done. We have like 20 seconds left. Can you believe that? This was
goodness.
A very fast show. I really appreciate you coming on today. This is very important that people get down to Sacramento on Tuesday at 10 o'clock for the Medical Freedom March.
Yep.
Thank you again, Doc. We'll be talking soon.
Okay. I appreciate it so much, Dr. Maria. Thank you and God bless.
God bless.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. A funeral this morning in Wilmington, Delaware for Beau Biden, the former Delaware Attorney General and eldest son of Vice President Joe Biden. He died of brain cancer a week ago at the age of 46. Portable seats had to be added to the service. That facility normally holds just 1,000 people. Number of dignitaries there, and President Obama himself delivering one of the speeches. The president travels to Germany this weekend to meet with global leaders of the G7 summit.
Attending the two-day meeting will be the U.S., Britain, France, Italy, Canada, Japan, and host Germany. Climate change is at the top of German Chancellor Merkel's agenda, but there are plenty of other issues to be included on the agenda. These include terrorism, Ukraine, health emergencies like the Ebola outbreak, and global economic growth and trade deals.
As White House correspondent Greg Cluxton, visitors are once again going to the USS Arizona.